17, verses 1 through 9. After leaving Philippi and passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica. There was a Jewish synagogue there. As he had done in other cities, Paul attended the synagogue and presented arguments based on the Hebrew scriptures that Christ, the Anointed, had to suffer and rise from the dead. "Who is this suffering and rising Anointed One I am proclaiming to you? He is Jesus." He came back the next two Sabbaths, repeating the same pattern. Some of the ethnically Jewish people from the synagogue were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. Even more devout Greeks who had affiliated with Judaism came to believe, along with quite a few of the city's leading women. Seeing this movement growing, the unconvinced Jewish people became protective and angry. They found some ruffians hanging out in the marketplaces and convinced them to help start a riot. Soon a mob formed, and the whole city was seething with tension. The mob was going street by street, looking for Paul and Silas, who were nowhere to be found. Frustrated, when the mob came to the house of a man named Jason, now known as a believer, they grabbed him and some other believers they found there and dragged them to the city officials. "These people, they're political agitators, turning the world upside down. They've come here to our fine city, and this man Jason has given them sanctuary and made his house a base for their operations. We want to expose their real intent. They are trying to overturn Caesar's sensible decrees. They're saying that Jesus is king, not Caesar." Of course, this disturbed the crowd at large, and the city officials especially, so they demanded bail from Jason and the others before releasing them.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Well, you know, we are in this mandated time of separation, social distancing, and even quarantine, and many of us may be feeling anxious and restless. Our routines have been changed, and it's natural to ask, when will this be over? Well, I don't know about your place, but in Japan, maybe this is still the beginning. Who knows? And there's no way to tell when the end will be. And so the question is, what should we do? Well, you know, people have lots of time right now at home, searching internet and YouTube and looking for truth and looking for information. So the question is, are we spending more time with God and His word and good news, or are we spending more time on such internet for all the information and news, especially bad news? Which are we spending more time? The longer the time goes on, the more life will change forever. And life may never return to what it was before. You know, the education, medicals, schools, church, transportation, how we do business, the way we do things right now may need to be changed. And during this time when the churches are not meeting, maybe new forms of ministry, new forms of outreaching may need to be created or rediscovered or uncovered, who knows. Some will be an improvement over how we did things before, and God may be teaching us many things right now. So why don't we, in the middle of these difficult times, why not we wait upon the Lord more and believe in His plan, in His promises, in His word, and spend more time in prayer and His word even more than ever? You know, this may be the great chance God has given us for us to be a house of prayer, really house of prayer, or a city on a hill, a beacon of hope. We can be these kind of people right now to encourage and inspire people in these difficult times to spread the good news instead of bad news. Why don't we do that? And today, we have a scripture in front of us. That's Acts 17, 17:1-9. And the title is Turning the World Upside Down. Turning the World Upside Down. You know, what's happening here is after leaving Philippi, Paul went to Thessalonica, the capital city of Macedonia. And there was a synagogue in Thessalonica. And he was there preaching the gospel for about 3 weeks. And some people accepted the gospel and entered the faith, and some didn't. Verse 5 of Acts 17 says, the Jews were jealous, so they took some evil men from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. And then they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city authorities, and shouting, these men who have turned this world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. Well, this is in a sense true. In some respects, Christians are turning this world upside down and say that Jesus is another king and following something different from this world. So the questions are, in what way do Christians turn this world upside down? And in what way do they follow another king, Jesus? Today, let us think about these things together. Luke, in chapter 16:10, all at once starts using we instead of they. And here, again, in chapter 17, Luke returns to they. We or us actually ends in chapter 16:17. So it is considered that Luke remained in Philippi. You know, possibly Paul's physical health got better, or so Luke was not needed. Or possibly Luke was needed in Philippi to teach the gospel there. We don't know the reason. But possibly, probably, Paul left Luke in Philippi. And Paul left and went to Thessalonica on his mission trip. Thessalonica was about 100 miles south-east of Philippi. And since it was the capital city of Macedonia, it was full of Jews. And Paul, as he always does, went to the synagogue, and for three Sabbaths, he reasoned the Jews from the scriptures. The word reason means to arrange, display, or enumerate. In other words, Paul arranged the teachings of the Bible and displayed them and used as a proof that Jesus was a savior. According to verse 3, Paul explained and proved that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. Then, notice that a great many of the devout Greeks also believed. A great many of the devout Greeks, they were not Jews, but Gentiles, who worshipped the Creator God of the Old Testament and came to synagogue every Sabbath. When they heard Paul's message, they were saved, and they were the first people to start the church in Thessalonica. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's open that, but I'm going to read from the Message translation here. 1 Corinthians 1:21. The world, in all its fancy wisdom, never had a clue when it came to knowing God. God, in his wisdom, took delight in using what the world considered dumb, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. God decided to use the proclaiming, that the preaching of the word of God, to bring people into salvation. When we evangelize, we sometimes use our wisdom or knowledge or intelligence or debate fervently and try to convince the other person. But the important thing is upon what we base we reason. Upon what we base we reason. We must not be upon our intelligence, our wisdom, or zeal. It must be based upon the Bible. Because 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, Paul says, the message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully as it turns out. Yes, we speak from the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit will work, and through the word will lead the person to salvation. Let's go back to Acts 17 and look at verse 6. The Jews dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities. They shouted that these men turned the world upside down. Well, this is an over-exaggeration, but it's true in a sense. Christians in all ages are turning the world upside down. It's actually strange for the gospel to be preached, but no change takes place. When we believe in Christ, we are able to experience joy, the true joy and peace from God that we have never experienced before. Not only do we experience this peace and joy in our lives, but it has a power to turn our families, nations, and the world upside down. The dynamite of the gospel changes families and societies and causes revolutions. By believing Christ, a revolution takes place in our lives, and it's a revolution of love. We want to take and deliver this gospel of Jesus who causes revolutions and declare it everywhere. Just as Christians in those times were called the people who have turned the world upside down, may we keep up to the same life. Another reason that the Jews dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities is given in verse 7. They are saying that there is another king. Yes, Christians have another king called Jesus, and we are citizens of his kingdom, so we want to follow his leadership and his authorities and obey him, right? We want to obey him because he is the ultimate authority. He is what we base our life and actions upon. However, Jesus is not in this world, so he has given us people in authority over us, and so we are to follow them. Please open 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 15. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 15. Again, I'm going to read from the Message translation. 1 Peter 2, 13. make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you are a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. It is the will of God to follow, for us to follow these authorities. The problem is when these worldly authorities request us to do something that goes against what God would want us to do. In such case, we must say, as it is written in this passage, there is another King, Jesus, and stand up for what we believe. But this is a clear principle. But the way we put into practice is difficult, because it is not easy to know how far we should obey the governors. In present day, Japan or United States, the governors are selected by votes, and so it is even more difficult. But one thing we need to think about in the middle of this is that why Christians would go that far to follow the other king, Jesus? The answer is clear. That is because Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he is a Savior. And because there is no other name given among men by which we can be saved. As we saw in verse 3 of Acts chapter 17, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. In a long human history, no one except for Jesus has done this. Jesus suffered and died, and that suffering was for me, for us. He died on the cross for our sin, for your sin, and he rose for us, for you. And that is the reason why he is another king. Is there any other king who has suffered for us? Is there any government that shows such a love by suffering and being shamed to the point of death? What cabinet died on the cross for us? There is no one, only Jesus Christ on the cross, and he rose 3 days later. And therefore, we want to give our final vote to Jesus Christ. In Japan's history, there are many Christians who are martyred. The reason why they refused to follow any other gods and they gladly gave their life was because Jesus first loved us. Because Jesus had died for their sins and then rose again. And when we know this love and grace of God, then we can choose to live and die for this King. Romans 5, 6 to 8. Romans 5, 6 to 8. That, and I'm going to read here by the Message translation again. Romans 5, 6. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, or we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. What a grace! What a mercy! When we are touched by this love of Christ on the cross, then we are able to sacrifice our lives for him. May God open our eyes. May God open the eyes of your hearts. May God help us and you to believe and see Jesus clearly. May God help you to taste and see how deep the love and mercy of God in Christ. So that no matter what happens, no matter what happens in our future and in the future, we will be able to follow this real King, Jesus. God love you, and may God keep you, blessing you in these difficult times. Let's keep on being faithful to God. Amen.